This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. And we promised SB Nation NBA expert Joel Blank, and it's especially exciting that he's joining us tonight because he's a rabid Packers fan, and the Packers, of course, playing a Monday Night Football. Looks like they've just tied this one up. Joel, welcome to the show.
Guys, you know it's always my pleasure to join you.
So we appreciate your stealing time away from the Packers, but we need to talk some NBA questions with you.
Let's do it.
Let's start with Jimmy Butler. Where is he going to land? He's not going to stay with the Timberwolves, is he?
No, I don't think so. Although it was very interesting, and I wrote an article for our website, sportsmap.com, about the entire process. There's a lot of fans in basketball that don't understand that this time of the year, there's a cat and mouse game going on between agents and organizations. Agents are going to drop rumors out there that may be true and may not be true, just so that teams will react to try and get a certain agent's player out of a certain destination. The ironic thing about Butler returning to the Timberwolves to practice last week was the fact that all of a sudden Rachel Nichols was there for a live interview following practice. And during practice, it wasn't Jimmy showing up, working hard, and going home. It was him talking a bunch of mess to the general manager, the coach, and the other players. And all of a sudden, there was must-see TV and a one-on-one interview live, you know, right there with Rachel Nichols in the same town. It was all scripted by the agents. And then this weekend, there were a lot of rumors flying around about Butler going to other destinations than the teams that had been rumored, like Miami or the teams he requested, New Jersey, Los Angeles. That's because they're trying to up the ante as a team to get the upper hand, to get teams to say, okay, we'll throw in an extra draft pick. We'll throw in this player that you wanted that we weren't willing to give up because we got to get back in that discussion. So there's a bunch of cat and mouse going on, but I don't think you should read anything into it. The leading candidate from everything that I've heard is still the Miami Heat, and Pat Riley is focused on trying to get him to Miami to try and build around. The Rockets are still always mentioned in discussions. Daryl Morey always is great about trying to get the Rockets' name involved in discussions. They feel like if they didn't have to give up P.J. Tucker, they'd be willing to give up Eric Gordon and some other pieces to try and get him. But I think that if you had to pick a leader in the clubhouse, I'd say Miami.
Wow, I love your perspective, Joel. I was struck by that interview with Rachel Nichols. I thought, he is so calm and clean, and how did she get this so easily? And he kept repeating, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just being honest. And I'm thinking, but are you? So I guess he is being honest. It was just kind of set up for him to say, get out there and say, I'm being honest. Wow.
Yeah, that's what the agents do. They have a powwow and they say, well, right now the team has the upper hand. We've got a year left on our contract. They don't have to do anything with Jimmy if they don't want to. But if we go to practice, he looks good, but he makes a scene. And it creates anarchy in the locker room, and everyone starts talking about it. It kind of forces the hand of the Timberwolves to have to make a deal, and in the process of doing so, get the upper hand returned to the Butler camp. So that's pretty much the premise behind why they did what they did.
I love your crystal ball, Joel. This is good insight. Okay, you mentioned Daryl Morey and the Rockets. I'd love to talk about our hometown boys here, who are a hamstring away from going to the NBA Finals, actually. So in the 90s, defense won championships, and the Rockets did it. This offseason, they traded away their best defensive players in Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbah-a-Mute. So adding Carmelo, who is definitely an offensive presence, I don't know about defense. What do you think? What are we going to see this year out of Houston?
See, and I love being able to give you guys the scoop. So here's the thing on the entire Rockets situation. One thing we know for sure with Houston, and we've known for the last couple of years, they can play ball with anybody on the offensive side. They can score with anyone, and they continue to do that. Adding Carmelo Anthony, they lose something on the defensive end. And as you mentioned, the two guys that they lost, but the bigger and more key loss is their defensive coordinator, assistant coach Jeff Bezdelic.
Yes.
Now, the ironic thing about Bezdelic leaving was he didn't just leave. If you're going to leave and you're worn out or you want to retire, you leave in the middle of the summer. But what people don't know is they did a week-long trip to the Bahamas to do some team bonding once they made all the moves and brought Carmelo in. Bezdelic was present and accounted for. When they returned from the trip is when Jeff Bezdelic decided to quit. What that tells me is that not a lot of people that our casual observers pay attention to. Anyone know who Carmelo Anthony's first coach in the NBA was? I'll answer for you. It was Jeff Bezdelic. First year they made the playoffs and everything was just fantastic. The second year they got off to a slow start and Carmelo, amongst others, started pointing fingers at the coach who was fired rather quickly. I think Jeff Bezdelic went on that trip and decided to say, hey, I want to see if this is the same Carmelo Anthony or if he's changed. Because if he hasn't changed, I'm too far along in my career and I don't need to deal with this kind of stuff. I can just walk away. And that's exactly what he did. In my opinion, Carmelo has drawn a line in the sand again in the locker room. We all know Chris Paul and James Harden are his buddies. But I don't think there's a lot of people in that locker room not named Paul or Harden that were too jazzed about the idea of adding a guy that seems to be all about himself and has nothing to do with defense. So to me, it's going to be a challenge, and I think the Rockets are going to take a step back. I don't think, first of all, it's realistic to think that with a stacked Western Conference that added LeBron James, that they're going to be able to win 65 games again like they did a year ago. But even with that being said, Carla, I think the biggest thing is, from a defensive perspective, you lost two of your five best defenders, and you lost your defensive coordinator on a team that you say, well, what does Bezdelic mean to this team? Well, when he came to the team, they were last in rebounding and one of the bottom three defensive teams. Last year, they were third in rebounding and top five in defensive rating. So the fact of the matter is he had a huge impact on this team, and without him, especially when he made the announcement, it was too late to really bring someone in to replace him. It's going to make a very big indelible mark on this Rockets team defensively.
Wow. And let's not forget, too, that didn't D'Antoni lose his job in New York because of issues with Carmelo Anthony?
He walked away because of Carmelo, but let's not forget the other thing, which is the difference between the bottom line on Jeff Bezdelic's paycheck and the difference in Mike D'Antoni's is Mike sees a financial reason, if nothing else, why he should stick it out. Jeff Bezdelic says, you know, I'm not sure that price is enough to make me want to hang around. So I think that's the biggest issue. You know, D'Antoni knows, hey, look, I probably don't deserve this, but this is probably my last stop in coaching. So I'm going to try and find a way to make it work. And I know I've got two guys that have my back in Paul and Harden. I think in Bezdelic's case, it was more or less, I don't have that control and I don't like what I'm seeing. So I don't need this.
We're talking to NBA expert Joel Blank. So, Joel, let's shift gears, go over to the Eastern Conference and talk some Celtics. They returned Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving to that lineup. It must be the deepest lineup. Are they the class of the East by far? Or will they? I mean, how is Brad Stevens going to put all those pieces together?
I think that they are the class of the East, but I'm not going to say by far, David. And I'll say this. First of all, I'm not shocked that you want to talk Celtics. But I will say that to
he's
me.
An easy read.
There's no deeper team in basketball than the Boston Celtics. But I like what Toronto did. I like the fact that Kawhi Leonard is healthy, adds someone that gives, again, what we were talking about with the Rockets, a defensive presence to a team that had no identity other than the fact that they like to run and gun. But in the last 5 minutes of games, they lost, and we saw this consistently in the playoffs. And you ask why? That's because in the last 5 minutes when it's crunch time and you have to execute plays, and you can't just freestyle, and you have to make sure that you have guys that can, you know, run a play drawn up in the huddle to make sure that they get a basket. They couldn't get those baskets. And DeMar DeRozan is a freestyle basketball player, but he's not a system ball player. And that's why I think he's going to have a huge adjustment period with the Spurs. I think on the flip side, adding Kawhi Leonard, who gives you stability, he's a quiet force. He plays both ends of the floor. And when he's healthy, he's one of the top five players in the league. To a very good point guard in Kyle Lowry. And again, another deep team. I think, and they have veteran experience. I think Toronto sits right below Boston. And I think that Philadelphia has a ton of young talent. But what they're missing from a year ago are some of those veteran faces that can really help them to get to the next level. They lost a Bellinelli. They lost an Ersan Ilyasova. You're like, they're just rotational guys. But those are guys that stabilized the locker room. And during crunch time, really kept their calm while these kids kind of felt their way. I think those are the top three teams in the East. I think there's a huge fall off after that. Although if I put a fourth team in there, I might say Milwaukee is ready to rise simply because Giannis Antetokounmpo and those guys are getting better.
Joel, you are just a wealth of knowledge. I just want to keep you on here forever. But since David got to talk about be a homie for his Celtics, I'm going to be a homie for my Golden State Warriors. So I'm not going to ask the obvious. Obviously, they're going in as the preseason favorites like they usually do, which is not necessarily a good thing. I think Steve Kerr would not want it that way. But Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are going to be free agents after the season. Should they stay or should they go, as The Clash would say? And will they stay and will they go?
You know, it's really an interesting proposition, because a lot of the greatest teams that we've seen over the last couple of years have all had guys that said, once I got the ring, now I'm going to go get mine. Klay Thompson's the first guy that said, I don't think I can find a more ideal situation for me, my talent, and the fact that I love winning than Golden State. And I think Klay will probably stay. I think the more interesting case will be Draymond Green, who constantly craves the spotlight. And Draymond Green's contract is coming up too, and he's a guy that I could see moving on. I think that's exactly why Golden State brought in DeMarcus Cousins, because one, the trade-off, adding DeMarcus Cousins at a very cheap rate is a no-brainer in replacing JaVale McGee, who, as good as McGill was last year, he's not even close to Boogie Cousins. So you add a Boogie Cousins, and you add him for this year, and if Draymond Green decides to walk, you actually can re-sign him, and even if you have to pay him close to the max, you're okay because of the fact that Draymond is going away. If Draymond decides to stay, then I probably think that you see Boogie Cousins join a team like the Lakers or wherever he can get that max contract that all players are after. But I think that Klay is probably going to stay. I think Draymond's going to explore leaving. And Kevin Durant's situation is very, very interesting as well, because we all knew he was all about winning. And now that he's won back-to-back titles, and if they win their third in a row, now he can basically walk away saying the one thing that's so important to the legacy of a player when it comes to Hall of Fame and after their career is over is the hardware, the titles, not only just the MVP trophies and things like that, but the titles.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Joel Blank.